been beginning to wonder this morning if Jared was preparing y'all for heaven. He's saying a lot about heaven. I mean, my preaching is bad, but I usually just put people to sleep, not send them to heaven. So, but if that's what keeps you awake, that's great. I'll be honest with you. Before we get started on the lesson, I wanted to just share something. This week has been a lot of time spending time with family and thinking about being what you're thankful for. And I just want to tell you that here at Echoville, I'm thankful for a few things. Which I guess I usually don't like to share what I'm thankful for a lot. But first of all, you are my family. When people say, well, who are you going to hang out with? Well, that's my friends at church. That's my family. That's how I've grown up since we were in the youth group together all the way now. Pretty much everything I did it with. People at church, so I'm really thankful for the family here. I'm really thankful for the teens and the kids that we deal with and to get to meet and develop relationships with and give a hard time and all that. So I enjoy that. I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for the memories that are made. I don't think there's a time that we get together that we don't reminisce about things of the past. And I think that's special because how many people can go to a congregation and have stories that are years old and tell them over and over and over, and each time they come back like they were yesterday. And then I'm really thankful for the opportunity that I have and a lot of people have to serve. And that's kind of where I'm going to go today with that mindset. I really think it's awesome that we can come here and you have an opportunity to use your talents. And that is something that's been on my mind a lot. I've been sharing a lot with people I meet. At work, I'll be like, yeah, well, our congregation is different. We have 13 men to speak. We have 7 songwriters, and that number might be off. And we have people that can teach class, and it's really awesome. If you come to Echo Hills, you have an opportunity to serve, and that's really awesome. We've shared it a lot. My lesson comes from basically 2 books that we've been studying here. One of them is on Sunday morning. We studied a book called Pagan Christianity. And the other is from a book that on Sunday night we've been studying called Uncommon. And I wanted to share some points from the book Uncommon with you today and kind of challenge you. But the thing about pagan Christianity has been really awesome, just kind of making us think about how we do and why we do things here in church. And one thing I'll give you as a little funny side note, but I think it was Rich a couple weeks ago was talking about the sermon. And he said, think about how many sermons you remember. Or maybe it was you, Dave. One said, how many sermons do you remember? So I'm probably going to say a bunch of stuff today. And you're probably not going to remember it. But hopefully during this time together, we're going to edify each other and build each other up. Because that's what we're here to do. To build up the church and to praise God. I want you to just think about something, though, about your life right now. A lot of you have been struggling. I've talked to a few of you. A lot of you struggle with the way the nation's going, and you've been thinking about that. It's a lot on your mind. Well, what's going to happen in the future? Some of you have been really questioning, what is my role in the church, and how will the church grow? Some of you have thought about, just in general, how society, not dealing with politics, but how society, you see people continuing to grow up in an environment where things are not good, values are kind of decaying. And been thinking a lot about it. And I think the book that we've been studying on Sunday nights called Uncommon really kind of hits a lot of this at the core. And so I want you to think for a second about the term core. If you are working out, and guys, you can answer this in the Sunday night class. We talk about this. You better answer it. And Chris, you can answer it. You read the book. If you're talking about your core, you're working out, you're building your muscles up, what is the core of your body? The core. And feel free to at least answer by pointing at your core. What do you think the core is? Stomach and your back, right? Where's the least amount of place you want to spend emphasis on when you're working out? Your stomach. I mean, how many of you are like, oh, I can't wait to work on my stomach today? You just don't. But that's your core. And you really think about it when you work your back. Or you strain a muscle in your stomach. Then all of a sudden you're, oh, now I know why it's the core. I've never hurt my back so bad. But I can remember, it's been a couple of years, Brandon was at work, and he worked on his car all day. Brandon gets this in mind, I'm going to fix my car. And it's a little piece, and he tears his car apart
Well, he had been in position all day long for like 12 hours that he had gotten his muscles so tight. Well, the next couple days after that, he's at work and he went through the box. And when he did, something, his muscles said, "You've done enough, buddy." And they spazzed on him. And he just like instantly dropped him to the ground. I think Elisa thought he was dying. In an instant, Brandon realized that his back was his core. And everything he tried to do, he was in pain. Like walking, getting up, the simple thing, breathing. And you realize all of a sudden that your core is where you need to strengthen. But if you think about that in life, what are the core values we need to strengthen, especially as Christians? What do we need to build up? So when other things happen, we can function because our core is strong. And I'm not saying that if you work out and build up the muscle in your back, you won't hurt yourself. That's not the case. But when you work that area up, it makes you stronger in general. And so Tony Dungy wrote this book called Uncommon. And he talks about, in the very beginning of the book, is your core. What is it about a person? And he's talking to men because he's wanting to challenge Christian men to step up and to stand out, to be uncommon. And he's saying, all right, if that's going to be the case, let's hit the nail on God first and say, let's strengthen your core. What is it? What are those principles that about you, those traits that will make you a strong person? And I'm sure there's more that could be added to this, but we're going to look at those things today. But there's a verse I was thinking about when you talk about uncommon. You think about, do not be conformed to this world. And so Tony Dungy is pretty much in this book saying, let's not be like everybody else. Let's be different. And today we're going to look at those four character traits that he talks about as your core. And one of them I really want to focus on. But we'll start. First one is your character. Your character. First thing, if you're developing the core, you need to develop your character. And your character is simply this. It's who you are. It's really what builds your reputation, right? Your character is who you are. When somebody looks at you, they're going to judge your character. Somebody's going to base their opinion on your character. They are going to see what you're about, what you believe, and what your values are on your character. And it also can show what you're passionate about. That is who you are. And so, first thing he says, you want to build a strong character. There's a verse, though, that I wanted to tie along with that. I've got a verse for each one. But this one comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. And it's in a topic, and you read the whole context, but I think even in the context of what it's talking about, this verse still stands out. It says, "For we aim what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men." That's your character. Trying to do what is right. I think Tony Dungy mentioned a point in there that says, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. You can succeed in life, but that might not be the most important thing. It's how did you succeed? And when you think of character, you think of traits like hard work. You think about determination. You think about taking no shortcuts. I always joke about running a marathon. If I was running a marathon, because they always run in like downtown cities. Well, I'm pretty sure I'd know if I ran a marathon in Nashville, I'd know the quickest route. So I could run along and jet over to the side street and come out the back side and be in first place. I win the race, right? Well, I'd probably still lose even if I cut down the side street. Somebody's still beating me going around the whole city. But the whole point of that is my character says, what I do with you is not about winning, it's about how I do it. And that's what your character is. And Tony Dungy says, first thing off, let's develop our character. Second thing he talks about, honesty and integrity. Honesty and integrity. Think about this. And I think he really makes a good point in this. He says, he says, others determine your reputation. You can't control what somebody determines your reputation, right? If you don't like me, you don't like me. I can't control that. But you cannot control my integrity. I'm in control of that. My honesty and my integrity, you can't take from me. You can say I'm a bad person, but you cannot take that away. And so honesty and integrity, that's where your core is at. What is it about you? When somebody's not around, that's when your honesty and your integrity comes about, don't it? It's when no one's watching. It's Those things in life that you do is what determines your future. You know, so often in life we sacrifice honesty and integrity to gain something, maybe little, to gain something. But in the long run, the consequences of losing that integrity is detrimental. What do you think one of the hardest things is once you lose the... No, do not say what it is. Have you ever realized that when you lose trust in someone, like someone loses their trust in you, it's one of the hardest things to get back? You make one small thing to somebody that makes them lose their trust, and they'll carry that for a long time. You could be the most honest person the rest of your life and have one blemish of your honesty or integrity compromised, and you can ruin their image of you the whole time. And so Tony Duncan says, from the get-go, we need to really focus on our honesty and our integrity. Listen to this verse. He mentions it in the book. It's found in Proverbs 19, verse 1. It says, better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Sometimes I think honesty and integrity is what we need to put as the high value instead of obtaining what we think is of value. And so, a lot of this stuff I'm not telling you today because I'm thinking you need to really focus on this. And that this is something I think we're struggling with. But I'll get to why I'm telling you this today after a while. Third thing, I'm rushing to the first three because the fourth one's where I want to focus. Courage. And I'm not talking about the courage to do something crazy. That's not what Tony Duncan is talking about in the book. Talk about the courage to stand in what you believe. To stand firm in what you believe. In this day and age, do you think people really demonstrate courage for what they believe? In this day and age, do people stand firm in what they believe in, or do people cater to answer what someone else wants to hear? Are we afraid to sometimes show others around us what's important to us because we're afraid they might not like what we care about? Do we have that courage? We always think back to courage in the book of Daniel. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's a story you've heard a thousand times. But is that not the simplest way, the best illustration to understand courage? Three guys are told that they need to bow down to this statue. And they're told that if you don't, you'll die. And they say, well, I'm not going to compromise what I believe in, so I'm not going to do it. I have the courage to stand for what I believe in. And I think that has become a story that is like the Bible story. It was in the book of the doctor's office. You remember those books? I don't know if they still have them. They have Bible stories in them. I think that's what we sometimes think of as. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is just one of those good fairy tale stories. One of those good stories that we're told as kids, we learned in Bible class, we color pictures about them, but it's just a story. It's a fable. But no, there's a true story, and what it's saying is that we've got to have the courage. So now we're building our core, we're building up our strength, and it says we've got character, we've got honesty and integrity, we've got courage. Pretty good foundation, what do you think? And outside the church, we're not talking to Christians. If you're saying, if you want to be a good person in life, you need these characteristics, wouldn't you say? The last thing that he talks about in this chapter he called the core is humility and stewardship. And I'm not going to talk to you about stewardship in the money way. That's not where I'm going to focus today. Stewardship is not necessarily talking about money. Stewardship is being able to use the gifts that you've got for the betterment of something. God has given you something. He says you're responsible to take that and use it. Not just in the money aspect. He's talking about other areas. And humility. And I think they go side by side. Humility and stewardship. And so, if you want to open your Bible, we're going to look at, and we're reading most of my verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I will be honest with you yesterday. I even texted Dave because I get stuff in my head months in advance. And it sits there, and I think about it a lot, and then I start thinking, did I hear that in a lesson? So if somebody preached on 1 Corinthians 12, I apologize. But like Rich told us in class, I don't remember it because, but if you did that, I'm not stepping on your toes. And I really did. I texted Dave, he'll test this. I'm like, You talked about this the other day. Did you use what passage is? Did he talk about? And his lesson was about Peter and having the courage to step out. So a little bit along your way, but not. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is where we're going to focus our lesson today. It's my favorite part that's been on my mind a lot. Humility and stewardship. And I think 1 Corinthians 12 has both of those in it in a way. Let's just look at the text for a bit. And I hope you don't mind. We're going to look at a lot of the text of 1 Corinthians 12. The first part we're going to look at is the humility part. And it's not really talking about his humility in here, but it's talking about his unity in the church. But I think if you're humble enough to realize what this passage is saying, and you understand it, you understand humility. So starting in verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts with one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that we see as unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Think about that in terms of humility. I'm going to take these two points and I'm going to tie it to basketball. Basketball season is fresh in my mind. Echo Hill is about to start their season. I realized Monday night in practice that I can't coach. I was there by myself. And the only thing I do know how to coach is defense. And so they were asking questions about offense, and I had no clue what to say because I don't think about the offense. But here's the deal. I was watching basketball the other day, and it's really been in my mind about how do I make somebody understand the team concept of basketball. I could get on a tangent about basketball. The team concept. And don't be bored by this, but it makes sense, I promise you. I believe in the standard definition of a team is that you work together as one. We teach a defense called a 2-3 defense. It's a zone defense. What I tell the guys, and I might be wrong, and I may be wrong, that's fine, but at least I think I know what I'm doing. We didn't win a championship last year, so. And a 2-3 defense is not about your individualness going off and doing what you want by yourself and being all about yourself. As I tell the guys constantly, if you make one mistake and you leave your position that you're told to be in, to make yourself look good, the whole rest of your team suffers by one simple mistake. You're in a zone, and we like to keep it real tight. I say, don't chase somebody way out past the 3-point line, because as soon as you do that, then somebody else is going to have to cover your spot. That means their spot's left open, and so it causes a weakness. And so I want you to think about that today in this lesson. As a church, as an individual, as a person who wants to strive to be different, I want you to think about that. God has said how many bodies are there? One body. Which blows my mind to this day. I still can't understand why we have so many different congregations in this world. How has man destroyed what God originally intended? One body, but yet alone we have 5,000 bodies. We have bodies within bodies. You say you're the Church of Christ, that doesn't mean anything because there's different kinds of Church of Christ. We label them. But here's the deal. There's one body. And just like in that defense, there's one defense, and you have your role within that defense. But your role was given to you for the betterment of the team. And so God says the same thing. I've given you things, abilities to do. And we'll get that in a second. Well, actually, let's go ahead and read, because if I get off on my defense thing here, it won't make sense. So let's go back. We talked about humility. Let's talk about gifts. Same chapter, chapter 12. We're going to look at two sections. It's kind of broken up by what we just read. Go back to verse 4. And I have a lot in my head, and I'm sorry, I'm a little scattered right today, but just bear with me. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Now skip down to verse 27, because it kind of broken up and goes right back to the same concept. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And all these have question marks in these aspects. Now, equally desire the greater gifts. So now, go back to my 2-3 defense in this illustration here to understand this, and hopefully you understand, making me understand, and that's why I'm up here this morning. You have a 2-3 defense. God says that you are to do what you're assigned. You have been given a gift. You've been placed there in that role because God has said you have that ability. But God says, don't think of yourself as you're doing it on your own. What you do also affects the rest of your team, the rest of the body. And so when we start thinking as individuals, as Christians, if we take our talents and we humble ourselves and realize that it's the greater good of the church, imagine where we could go. And I was watching basketball the other day, and I was watching my favorite team, Georgetown, play. And they played a 2-3 defense. And I, for the first time ever, I saw a 2-3 defense that modeled what I've always wanted somebody to be like. And in this 2-3 defense, they were able to be aggressive, meaning one could go out of its zone, out of its area, but the rest of the team could slide over. They could communicate. They knew each other well enough that they could shift enough to be aggressive. So they knew that when this person went that way, without they could communicate, hey, or watch your back. And they did it so proficiently. And then I think about it so often, and when I try to teach and I watch it, we're so often focused on only what we want to do and how we're doing with our gifts and our talents that we don't think about the rest of the team, as you say. And so, here's where I'm getting at. Here at Echo Hills, I think we're starting to grasp a lot of this, what it means. We all have talents. I was thinking about this in class this morning. You think about the roles people fulfill here at church, and how without each of those roles being fulfilled, how we would continue on. I think about this. I teach the high school class. On Sundays and Wednesday night, I deal with my kids. That's where I like to be. But then I got to think, what if I had to teach the young kids, the ones that used to go up there? I have no clue where they go now. They always get in a line and they walk off somewhere. I don't know, old man's, and they disappear. I still don't know where they're going. I think about, what if I had to teach that class? I wouldn't be effective with it. Does that mean that that's a lesser class because I don't know anything about it? No, I know that whoever it is, whether it's Becky or whether it's Cherie or whoever it is, I guess it's you now, Becky, right? To teach the class. I've seen you sometimes walking down to their corporate chambers. I don't know where they're going. But this thing, that role is fulfilled. The role of teaching the team class. And then there's like the ones that can deal with the middle age class that I used to until I said I'm never good again. The second, third grade boys. Now they're like fourth and fifth. Actually, I think they're now middle school. You got the middle school classes. Dave has been sharing with me. Dave wants to be back in the high school class, but because he has to shift in and do the middle school class, he's like, man, I really want to be back in the high school class. Because we have people like Rich and Jeff who are really good at handling that age. And so we get that fulfilled to understanding that 2-3 needs. We know that when something needs to be filled in, we step in and fill it. And we help each other out when it's time. But it's because we know each other. And it's because we realize that God has given us gifts. Instead of sitting on our gifts, we use them. And sometimes that means, as Dave said, we've got to step out of our comfort zone and realize what our gift is. If I got called up and said, Sean, I need you to teach the whatever age that they're called now. I lost the name. It used to be a different name. The Red Robins, okay? If I got called to do that, I would do it. Might not be my talent, but I would do it. And that's the great thing here about Echo Hills. And what I think, if the church would start to grasp this mentality, how awesome the church would be, how prevalent it would be in this world. And so, going back to that whole thing, Tony Dungy tells us that humility and stewardship are part of your core. And so I'm really tying in two things, man. I'm sorry about that, but it's been on my mind a lot. So here's what I'm asking, or challenging, and what I've been thinking about. Let's just stop and think. If as individuals, we start to focus on our core, what would things look like in our lives? Let's step up another level. What if our core, we focus on our core as a church? When I say church, I mean the church throughout the world. What if we focused on our core? What would the world look like? What if the nation stopped thinking it knew what it was and went back to the core and focused on these traits? What would the nation look like? I think that this is where we need to go back to. And so my challenge to you this morning is, I know a lot of you have all these qualities and traits in you, and I respect you, and that's where I get a lot of my examples for these. But here's my challenge to you. Let me flip back to this, because I wrote it down. It's really good for once. It says this. Here's how I think we do it. First of all, I think we can improve. We always need improvement. All of us can look at our lives and say, I can improve in that area. Okay? Second is, we can display those core traits. Just imagine if we displayed those traits in our life, would we rub off? Third, we can teach those traits. Or actually, that's the fourth thing. So think about that. If we can improve, display, and teach those traits, those core traits, what difference would we really make in this? Make a difference in our lives for sure. Make a difference in this congregation. Make a difference in the church as a whole. And hopefully make a difference in this world. And so that's my challenge. Tony Dungy's really been challenging in my mind as I read this book. And I don't read books. Every week they ask the class, anybody read the chapter for Pagan Christianity? My hand don't go up. But I have to say every week, in Tony Dungy's book, I do read the book because I'm probably teaching it or something like that. So I hope that you got something out of this morning. I had a lot on my mind, and I tried to combine two. I rewrote this thing like four times, which I never spend time preparing. Yesterday, I sat down during the Florida State meeting and actually worked on this. Just to hope that you got something out of this. And here's my last thing to say. Here at Echo Hills, you have an opportunity to really see those traits. You have an opportunity to, if you need to, find examples on how you can improve your traits. And the great thing about it is you have an opportunity to teach those traits. And so there's not a better place to start than right here. And so my challenge and my encouragement to you is, if you are really inside and what can I do better, step out of your comfort zone. Be a role model. Be a teacher. And let's see where we can go with this congregation, starting with ourselves, and see where it is. So this morning, you have the opportunity, if you're whatever's going on in your life. And I love it here that we are family. And so if you have anything you want to be prayers about, you want to share, the opportunity is now, but the opportunity is every day. It's not just this time. You have the opportunity to ask for prayers or for
to be baptized or whatever, you all that is a 24/7 opportunity here, and you know that, and I hope that you know that in your heart. So I encourage you now, as we stand singing, to come forward if you have any needs.
If for the cross we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be out.
also, next Sunday, which is December 2nd, is a holiday celebration. Because we are going to have another fifth Sunday in December, it just happens to fall on the 30th. As the men's meeting and church meeting thing went, we're changing that to this coming December 2nd Sunday. So that's going to be the fifth Sunday. It's really our first Sunday. So just so you know, if I'm not confused about it, then it should be you, because I think I'm the worst one in here. So there you go. You don't really have to agree with me, probably. It's rhetorical. Anyway, we're working on the cost of around $4,000 to finish in the auditorium. It's going to go for all kinds of different things. Most of it is carpet. And then we have some paint that's going to, we're thinking about putting on the walls, but it's kind of, I think, are we doing the paint still first? Is that how we're thinking? Okay, yeah, so we don't miss the carpet squares. And, yeah, so the paint's probably going first, so you'll be seeing a couple of different changes here in the near future. And also, then the carpet will start going down, and it'll actually look probably pretty nice. And I know Dave will be excited, and he won't have to be outside and find the elements during all the kids' days and all. And it'll be softer if the kids fall, and they don't bruise their knees bad if they just get road burns. Anyway, so that's what that's all about. And so if you can invite friends, you know, because we're going to have a meal and everything, so that would be good. And you can say, oh yeah, you know, over here at Edward Hills, we have all this awesome food. And if you come, that'd be great. Oh, by the way, also, that just happens to be our fifth Sunday. Yes, I know it's the first, but it's our fifth. And, you know, we like to contribute a little bit more, you know, if you don't have friends, well, you know, at least got your family, but you can always do that too, because I would do that to mine. So, anyway, also, for the girls' night out, I know the last time we talked about this, that Emily made all the, you know, for the dates. That has actually been decided now, and it's going to be December 17th at 6:30 at their house, which is at 130 Waterford Way in Hendersonville. So, for the women that are going to be going, she asked that you bring finger foods and a $5 gift for not so clean Santa. I guess it's the dirty Santa. I don't know. That always makes me feel weird to say dirty Santa. Anyway, that's what I like to say, you know, not so clean Santa. Anyway, so if you need more information, Emily, it's got a number on here. It's 708-4629. I noticed that she did put 615 area code, which means that you might have to be searching for it. If it's not 615. Is it 615? Okay. If it was me, I would be like, yeah, just try to call here. Just seriously, but no, 615. Anyway, of course, you know, as Sean mentioned several times in his lesson, we do have a couple of different classes going on. Big Christianity is a good read. If you want to borrow the book or find out anything about it, I'm sure you can talk to anybody that's in the class. They'd be more than welcome to either share their book with you or tell you about it, tell you how awesome it is. And Wednesday nights, Papa's talking about Revelation. I don't know if we're on schedule for that exactly as far as how long that's going to take, but this Papa sort of just come and you know it's going to happen eventually. So
we got three verses done.
We got three verses? Okay, we're doing a lot better because I thought we were only making it to two. So, that's, you know, it's going to be very good. So go ahead and you can read about four verses ahead and we'll be good. So, that's all it is. And I do have to remind everybody, because I also found this out again today, and I knew about it, I just forgot about it, but don't forget that we do have an Echo Hills website that does tell us different things, such as if you're singing or if you're preaching. That way you're not shocked and confused and thrown off because some other people were not going to use names. And so that, I think, is all for the announcements that I have. Does anybody else have? Okay, please.
During class this morning, Carla stopped by. She brought Ernest, and she stopped by and gave me this little note for this. She wanted me to read to you guys. She said, I have endometriosis, and the cause is unknown. I'm just going to read this, but I can. It's got really loopy writing, so I'll check if I can read it. I have pain in the abdominal cavity, lining the pelvic organs, and they have grown into other forms of tissue. When she had her ultrasound, the doctor said that she had a 7-inch cyst on her pelvic wall and 2 fibroids. She's having surgery on Thursday at Centennial Surgical Center, and she said it's going to be an outpatient procedure. She's hoping at 11. She just wants everybody to pray for a speedy recovery and her health. And she said that she's been struggling with different health issues, and the doctor said he thinks that this may have been the core of everything that she's having problems with. So hopefully, and she's very hopeful of this, that when she has the surgery and they start giving her the right types of medicine to take care of some of these problems, that that things are going to get a lot better for her. She's struggling in a lot of ways. She can't work like she wants to. She can't come to church like she wants to. She's just in so much pain that she has to just lay down a lot. And she said that Ernest takes good care of her, tells her to sit down, lay down, and stuff. So we want to keep this family in our prayers. And also, not good at organizing this, so I'm just going to put this out there. And so hopefully somebody will use their gifts, right, Sean? And maybe organize this, but I thought it would be a good thing if maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, during this weekend, that we could organize some food for them for dinner. She said it was either that or Ernest Cook. And so she has enough problems as it is, right, Ernest? She said he's not too bad at eating up soup, but soup gets old after a while. So if some of the ladies might talk about that, about providing some meals for them this weekend as she goes through the process of recovering from the surgery. The other thing is dealing with that very confusing announcement that Jared just made about the fifth Sunday, first Sunday deal. We figured that there wouldn't be a lot of people here toward the end of the month, and we didn't want to miss out on an opportunity of having a fifth Sunday contribution because we have this project that we're trying to finish. We'd like to get this done as quick as possible so we can enjoy it to its fullest. I think Johnny told me whenever I saw Johnny last, which I'm not sure when that was, maybe last Sunday night. I think we have close to $1,500 already given to the project, specifically for renovations. And so, really, if we're looking at a $4,000 total, we're looking at a $2,500 that we would need to kind of finish up getting the money for that project. And so, just keep that in your mind and really pray and try to give as liberally as we can to this project. And then we'll also be grabbing you to use your other talents besides money to actually do the work. Sean loves laying carpet tiles, so I'm going to put him in charge of that. But the other thing, painting and whatever, we'll be getting the word out about when that's going to be happening, and we'd love to have your help on that.
And do we know if there's any other announcements anybody has? Also, I forgot to say, on the back of the bulletin, don't forget we've got birthdays here, and we do have a few that are coming up. None today, but possibly Wednesday. Yeah. All right, anyway. So, all right, if we can go get a prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day, just your love that you give to us. Lord, I do ask that we learn much of love, and that when we do, and we try our best to understand how you could love us in such a way when we mess up all the time, it seems, that you still do. And that, Lord, I ask that we are able to return that love, not only just back towards you, but towards everyone that we come in contact with. And Lord, I ask that we do use our gifts and our talents, that we're able to show that to others and then make them want to part of that, to expand on their own selves and to work on their core, as we learned today, Lord. We do ask that as a body of Christ, Lord, that we're able to not just look at one side and one of our hands or one of our eyes and just say, it's not worth having that, but realize the value of even the small things, Lord, in life, and that we're able to come together as a full unit and be able to do what we need to do, Lord, and that we're able to bring others close to you